The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps.
Hello, Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Gankoff coming to you live on the National Intel Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In hour one, I'll be covering basically three topics, just in terms of general overview. In hour two, we will be joined by Patrick Slattery of National Bugle Radio and our special guest, Eric Gajewski from Trad Cad Night. It is the traditional Roman Catholic radio show that is considered to be one of the top 10 in the country in terms of circulation. And there we will cover one of the three stories that I'm going to mention here at the beginning of this show. That one is going to be the Archbishop of San Antonio and his decision to intervene in the Texas gubernatorial race, obviously, with an ABC television interview, which clearly favors Beto O'Rourke, and curiously enough, takes pot shots at Roman Catholic Texas Governor Greg Abbott. What really is going on here? We will get to that shortly. First thing is Russia and Ukraine. General Valery Zaluzhny, the Ukrainian commander-in-chief, reports as follows, and that is that the Russians are making all kinds of advances against Ukrainian lines in Donbass, something to the tune of 700 to 800 strikes a day, something to the tune of anywhere from 40 to 60,000 Russian shells being fired at various locations along the Ukrainian front line. Keep an eye on that, folks, because we have been watching these salients fall one by one, and the latest salient, of course, involves this area right around Donetsk City, but ultimately, in all likelihood, the Slaviansk-Kramatorsk salient is going to be where the real action is finally going to be decided, prior to a complete Russian mop-up in the Donbass, or so we anticipate. If you're looking for good sources on this, sources that I rely on, as well as other good people, they are as follows. Check out the Duran with Alexander Christoforou and Alexander Mercuris. Take a look at the Military Summary Channel on YouTube and on Telegram. Take a look at Intel Slava on Telegram. Ex-CIA analyst Larry Johnson has a site entitled Son of the American Revolution, which you can find through my Mark Dankoff's Catacomb homepage, which has all of these other sites listed, and there you will see all kinds of things with excellent analysis on a day-by-day basis that don't fit what mainstream media has been telling us up to this point. What are some of the things to be watching? Watch Nikolaev. Watch these Russian strikes that have just begun on Odessa. Watch the Kharkov region, and then we will look at the whole issue of Ukrainian asymmetrical warfare. Some would call it terrorism, but nonetheless, it's a sign of the fact that Ukraine is clearly losing the conventional end of this war, and so they have been doing several things that bear closer attention. One is their ongoing attempts to strike the nuclear power plant in Zaporozhye in a place called Energodar. That is one serious situation that could impact as many as 9 different countries, we are told, if something should happen in the way of a strike-induced leakage at that plant. So watch Energodar in the south and the Zaporozhye nuclear power plant strikes being undertaken by Ukraine, some perhaps by an attempted missile strike. More likely there is the ongoing evidence of sabotage in that location. Obviously, watch Crimea as well. The Ukrainians keep saying that they're going to strike the Crimean bridge, And when we start looking at the whole issue of paramilitary operations and the use of surrogates to engage in sabotage in Crimea, as has happened already by Russian admittance on at least one location, we discover that six members of a group calling itself Hizb ut-Tahrir al-Islami have now been detained by the Russian Security Service, or FSB. Obviously, this would seem to be something of the same stripe as the types of people that Israel and the United States and Saudi Arabia have been using against the Assad regime in Syria. This is a trick that the United States and Israel and Saudi have resorted to on more than one occasion. In this particular case, the Saudis may not be direct suspects in this one, but keep an eye, obviously, on the United States and Israel, who would be prime suspects along the British MI6 in using an organization of this type. Again, keep an eye on Crimea. Keep an eye on the situation as it relates to the Crimean Bridge, not simply in terms of this Hizb ut-Tahrir al-Islami organization, where some of their members, six of them, have now been detained by the Russian Security Service, FSB, but also watch for Russian responses in the event that these operations in Crimea continue asymmetrical warfare or otherwise. The former president of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev, has indicated that Russia will bring judgment day upon those if in the Ukrainian government and in the Ukrainian military, if that Crimean bridge is hit. We must suspect, certainly, that in the event of something in the way of a nuclear accident at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power station in Ergodar, that this would also produce a Russian response that would be absolutely breathtaking. So keep an eye on those stories. Here's one for you that relates to Ukraine and Russia. Stoltenberg of NATO says that NATO is now ready to intervene in Kosovo. This all began in earnest with Bill Clinton's illegal and criminal bombing, of course, of Serbia in 1999, utilizing NATO in that operation. This may be a repersonation of that original operation, where Stoltenberg indicates that NATO is ready to get involved there again. Kosovo obviously seems to be used by the United States in this regard, as well as the British MI6 and the EU. The Serbians obviously are pro-Russian, so you can kind of get a flavor for what is obviously happening there, where this game being played between the United States and the EU on one hand and Russia on the other continues to use surrogates, at least for now. And yet when we watch Poland, it would appear to some that Poland is in the process of annexing West Ukraine, possibly with the rumored approval of Volodymyr Zelensky, the so-called president of Ukraine. What is the significance of that move? Poland is a member of NATO. If Poland should at some point annex West Ukraine, de jure or de facto, that could in fact bring us perilously close to a circumstance where the United States and NATO on the one hand and Putin's Russia on the other could be in direct conflict. This is something that the Russians themselves have obviously been verbalizing about publicly. Check out a story in RT yesterday, Russia Today, where it was made very clear by the Russian embassy in the United States that these present policies being pursued by the Biden administration and by the British and by the EU and by NATO, we're bringing the world perilously close to such a direct military involvement that would have absolutely disastrous circumstances, obviously, for everyone involved. We simply have to hope that there is some common sense that remains in the American government and in the EU and in NATO, but no evidence of that thus far. Here's a story that everyone who listens to RBN is likely to cheer. Trump-backed candidate wins easy victory over Liz Cheney in the Wyoming Republican primary. This is being reported in all kinds of places, including LifeSite News. And, of course, in her concession speech, Liz Cheney compared herself to Abraham Lincoln, who also lost both the House and the Senate race. Let's hope that Liz doesn't decide to visit Ford's Theater in the near future. But nonetheless, when we look at her loss last night, she was absolutely blown away by Trump-backed candidate Harian Hageman. And in this particular circumstance, with 99% of the votes counted, Ms. Cheney, the daughter of former vice president and warmonger and war profiteer Dick Cheney, was down almost 40 points in an unbelievable electoral wipeout. So Liz Cheney, in the aftermath of that, says that she's going to run for president to continue trying to get at Donald Trump. Okay, well, more power to you, Liz. Be sure to give that a try. I, for one, second the sentiments of Tulsi Gabbard, the Democratic congresswoman from Hawaii, who basically indicates that Liz Cheney is a warmonger, that Liz Cheney is one of the most dangerous people in the neocon movement in the Republican Party. And so we find ourselves agreeing with a Democrat on this one, Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, who in a fairer world and in a more objective electoral situation could have and should have been the Democrat nominee for president in the last election. Why wasn't she? Well, mainstream media wasn't going to possibly allow anyone other than Joe Biden to be nominated in the Democratic Party. And, of course, Hillary Clinton actually accused Tulsi Gabbard of being a quote-unquote Russian agent, which means that if you don't favor this latest Zio-neocon war against Putin's Russia with Vladimir Zelensky, the Jewish drag queen comedian who has been set up by the West as the so-called president of an Orthodox country. He is the latest president, of course, of Ukraine since the illegal coup d'etat in February of 2014 that was facilitated by the United States and the British MI6 and the EU in order to give European central banks an advantage over what would have been a much better deal for the Kiev government in regard to banking and trade relationships with Putin's Russia. And from that time on forward, of course, we have seen what has followed that coup, and the last two individuals in particular, Poroshenko and now Volodymyr Zelensky, are both of the Jewish background. That makes it very interesting to speculate as to how it is that in an Orthodox country, we have now had two Jews in a row for the presidency of Ukraine, obviously installed with the absolute help of Western banking interests and Israel and the whole business of the American and British national security establishments. And in the case of Liz Cheney, by the way, going back to that story just for a moment, she, of course, was a real Russophobe, certainly one of the cheerleaders, obviously, of the Zelensky regime in Kiev and the whole business of just giving away zillions of dollars to this regime, which is in the process potentially of being ousted by its own military, potentially. A lot of rumors about this. But as the Russian advance continues in Donbass, it is quite clear that at least in a conventional military situation, that even with all of these Western armaments, there is no way that Zelensky's Ukraine is going to prevail against Putin's Russia in the Donbass. And because the Kiev regime reneged on the Minsk Accord, which would have solved this whole situation without a war, and because in March, Zelensky and the Ukrainians pulled back from an apparent agreement in Istanbul with the Russians that would have saved the day in terms of stopping the war in March, you can thank Boris Johnson and Joe Biden for talking Zelensky out of that one and assuring him that, in fact, all of these Western armaments and all of this Western propaganda were going to enable Volodymyr Zelensky's Ukraine with his Azov and right sector neo-Nazi supporters to prevail in this war. They're not only not prevailing, but it's very obvious when you listen to the Duran and listen to Mercurius on this and listen to his partner Christoforos day after day on this whole subject and consult Larry Johnson and consult Intel Slava and consult Military Summary that Russia is simply grinding it out, which has been their intention all along. And because of the Ukrainian double talk and the Ukrainian reneging on the Minsk Accord and then the Istanbul tentative agreement, Volodymyr Zelensky now faces the situation where he will have to run to his condominium in Israel or some of his holdings in Miami and his millions of dollars in offshore accounts and so forth and so on, getting out of Dodge while he can still do it. We can look forward to the day when that happens. And obviously now for the United States and for the British MI6 and for the EU and especially for NATO, the credibility of all of these entities is in the process of completely evaporating as they bet on a losing strategy, as this war of attrition economically against Putin's Russia is absolutely backfiring on the West, and as Russia and China are fully united now in an anti-Western, anti-British, anti-American front, that you throw the Iranians into this equation, if in fact the Israelis feel that they have been given the green light by Joe Biden to attack Iran, which apparently was given when President Biden was in the Middle East for this rather humorous circus that he conducted both in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, as well as Riyadh. We can only sit back and watch this with bated breath as an American military and a NATO military force that could not prevail in Afghanistan after two decades and could not, in fact, create a legitimate military force out of the so-called Afghan National Army. The people that were responsible for this debacle in both of the political parties in these last 20 years got to witness the absolute shameful debacle of the nature of the American withdrawal from Kabul, which was a logistical nightmare, and which resulted in the taking down of the LGBT flag from the American embassy in Kabul. That is not exactly a highlight of American military history or American history generally, but do we believe, do all of you out there listening to me right now who've been listening to me on this network for years, do we believe after 9/11 that the American military, which absolutely has botched it in Afghanistan, which continues to flounder in Iraq, which has created a nightmare in Libya, and which has been checkmated by Putin in Syria, that this same American military, with its political correctness and its critical race theory at our academies, and with the LGBTQ ideology that is very much in vogue among politically correct American leaders in the military who want a high-paying job by doing whatever it is that a Democrat Party tells them to do, a present Democrat presidential administration, does anyone believe that that military could possibly prevail against an alliance of Russia, China, and Iran? These people have to be absolutely crazy. And in terms of Russia and China, what are we discovering? Russia is the leading leading possessor of commodities in the world. Commodities necessary for any kind of an economy, whether agricultural or industrial. Russia's got the commodities. China has the industrial production capability that the United States once possessed. And between the two of them, is it any wonder that they are prevailing as they make their own military preparations in self-defense against what could be coming, at the same time that they are defeating the United States economically and Britain and Europe economically through time, and a war of attrition that has only resulted in skyrocketing prices for energy and oil and for food in the West? This is absolute craziness, folks, but the fact of the matter is that these neocons never seem to step back from these mistakes. They only put the foot to the floorboard. They only double down on bad policies. And despite the fact that Liz Cheney was tossed out on her ear last night by the sensible voters of Wyoming, that nonetheless it may be too little too late in terms of doing the same thing to an American military establishment and an American government and an American banking elite and an American corporate elite that is largely run and governed by these same people. By the way, if you are a so-called traditional Christian or a so-called social conservative, LifeSite News reports that Liz Cheney has also moved to the political left, voting in favor of same-sex quote-unquote marriage. When we come back, I'll have some things to read to you about my remarks to the Archbishop of San Antonio, who decided that he was going to enter the O'Rourke Abbott contest by giving O'Rourke a boost on ABC News, although I am sure that he will deny that. We'll be back.
But reduce inflation. Speaker Pelosi said that the House will pass the $430 billion bill tomorrow. In a letter to her Democrat colleagues, she called the bill life-changing legislation, also known as the climate tax health care bill. The relabeled Build Back Better bill will definitely be life-changing. This bill will make everything you buy more expensive while dramatically increasing the chances of you getting audited by the IRS. This Frankenstein's monster piece of legislation is a perfect example of why we need H.R. 46, the One Bill, One Subject Transparency Act. Healthcare, green energy, and tax law should never be in one bill together. Putting these things under the label of inflation reduction is just insulting. Find out more about H.R. 46 and sign the petition of support at liberty-lighthouse.com/H.R. 46.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Lord, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's been too dark to see. Felt like knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
We're back, and you're listening to Mark Dankoff from San Antonio, Texas, on the late John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It seems almost surreal for me to be on this show as a guest host, based upon past appearances with John on this show as a guest, and based upon my long-standing relationship with him, which goes back about 16 years. Obviously, every day, I'm sure, at RBN, there's something that transpires either within the studio or on one of the shows that reminds us that his presence is somehow still a presence with us, and that he is not forgotten in the midst of all the things that he accomplished for alt-right media in this country. Before we leave the Liz Cheney story, let's take a look just for a moment at the remarks of Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, who before the final results of this election were made final, said on Twitter, quote-unquote, it appears that Liz Cheney one of the GOP's chief warmongers, is about to lose. This is good news for every American, regardless of party, said Ms. Gabbard. I totally affirm that, by the way. And then Senator Rand Paul, a Republican, as all of us know, from Kentucky, also celebrated Liz Cheney's defeat, quote, "Few people in Washington have been as wrong and damaging on foreign policy as Liz Cheney. Congratulations to Hageman for Wyoming on her victory tonight. I look forward to working with an advocate for liberty as the next congresswoman from Wyoming. By Liz." And in terms of KSAT 12 in San Antonio, it's quite significant to me, quite interesting, that they themselves, who are hardly pro-Trump, have in fact noted that the victory in the case of this anti-neocon opponent of Liz Cheney would seem to suggest that Donald Trump's hold on the Republican Party, or at least the ideology he represents, will be the prevailing one in the Republican Party going into 2024. Now, of course, I have my own feelings about President Trump in terms of the fact that he could use less Zionist influence in the future in terms of his associations and his own political ideology. But that's a separate topic for another show. I am nonetheless quite aware of that. Well, let's take a look, folks, at this story on the Archbishop of San Antonio. The Archbishop of San Antonio is a fellow by the name of Gustavo Garcia Siller. The Archbishop, of course, gave an interview to ABC News in which he had some things to say about Governor Greg Abbott. And so we're turning to KSTAT 12 on this for a moment and what they reported as to what their national affiliate had to say about what the Archbishop had to say about our governor, our Republican Governor Greg Abbott. Just look at the headline of this thing, folks. Quote, "I would invite the governor," meaning Abbott, "to love his people." This is San Antonio Archbishop's, the San Antonio Archbishop's message to Governor Greg Abbott on Uvalde. ABC News reporter John Quinones sits down with Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller for an interview in Uvalde. Now, of course, as you go through this, references made to this emotional interview. Garcia Siller said, quote, "We don't need to show power at this time. Power at this time, and it will be for a while, diminishes people. We need you to accompany them, to walk with them," Siller said in remarks directed at Governor Abbott. Quote, "If mistakes were made, walk with them to resolve them. Don't bring all that power and all of those arms and all of that control," quote unquote. And what is really interesting about all of this, of course, is that in an earlier time, if you want to research this a little bit further, all of the Roman Catholic bishops earlier attacked Governor Greg Abbott, who is himself a Roman Catholic, because Governor Abbott was of the persuasion that when there was a baby formula shortage in Texas, that American citizens should first and foremost receive the baby formula. They should not have been forced to wait in line because of undocumented illegal immigrants who are not Americans and who had gotten into this country by breaking the law. For having taken that position, Governor Abbott was attacked savagely by all of these Roman Catholic archbishops. And now, of course, this Uvalde tragedy has now given the Archbishop of San Antonio, Gustavo Garcia Siller, an opportunity with ABC News reporter John Quinones to do something that is clearly, folks, clearly designed to boost the political candidacy of one radical left-winger by the name of Beto O'Rourke, who is anti-Catholic, if the truth be known, and who is clearly a cultural Marxist on issues of gay marriage and abortion on demand and euthanasia and everything else, including the transgender thing and gay marriage. When we come back, I'll read what I had to say to the Archbishop in a letter that I wrote yesterday. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Real news, real talk. real people, because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Gantoff coming to you live at the Lake John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report for the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are on until 7 p.m. Central Time tonight, and in hour two, I trust that we will have Eric Gajewski of Tradcad Night, traditional Catholic radio, to deal with this whole bishop, impression that Eric would have, potentially, of this Archbishop Garcia Siller, and his entrance into Texas gubernatorial race in this interview with ABC News that any reasonable person would interpret as an ambush and a broadside on fellow Roman Catholic Greg Abbott, Republican governor of Texas, and Garcia Siller's own apparent alliance, although he would never admit it publicly, with Beto O'Rourke, who is pro-transgender op surgeries for children. This guy is pro-abortion for any reason at any stage of a pregnancy. He is a total advocate of the LGBTQ agenda. And in the list of things that Beto O'Rourke espouses, including gun control, would appear to be at odds with the Roman Catholic Church officially, except maybe for the last one. Where the Roman Church really stands on the Second Amendment is unclear, but it is quite obvious that Garcia Siller may have some ideas about, Archbishop Garcia Siller may have some ideas about gun control and gun confiscation that are absolutely to be avoided, both in the state of Texas and also when it comes to the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. And by the way, I took the liberty of making some people in the National Rifle Association, Gun Owners of America, and the Texas State Rifle Association aware of this in terms of their various representatives in the state of Texas in regard to this whole issue of this ABC News John Quinones interview that the Archbishop of San Antonio granted, which clearly is not only aimed at a Republican Roman Catholic governor, but is clearly to be interpreted, in my view, fairly, as an attack on the gun lobby, if you want to call it the gun lobby. Some of it would, some of us would prefer to call it the Second Amendment lobby, and a lobby for the Bill of Rights, and a lobby for the Constitution of this country, Mr. Archbishop. Now, let me say one other thing. The Archbishop himself, as near as I can tell, does not have a publishable email address. So I had to write his rector at San Fernando Cathedral. I apologize to his rector in the text of my letter for having to address it to him instead of the Archbishop, since obviously the rector was not the one who was interviewed by John Quinones. But nonetheless, I addressed this to the rector, and it's a public letter that has been translated into Russian and German and Spanish by the Russian VKontakte social media outlet. And let's proceed to take a look at this in our good old-fashioned American English. This is what I had to say yesterday to the very Reverend Carlos B. Velasquez. Okay, I had to get the accent right. That was not a deliberate attempt at being disrespectful to this gentleman's name. He is the rector of San Fernando Cathedral in San Antonio, Texas. The text says, regarding the statements of Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller about Uvalde and Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, and I included for the rector the link to the KSAT 12 story that I just read over the air before the last break. Here's what I had to say. Dear Father Velasquez, I apologize for writing you instead of your Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller regarding his statements about the Uvalde tragedy and Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. There was no provision on the internet I could find to locate him to send him a brief email message. I hope you will forward this to him, although I don't expect him to respond. I wish to say four things. First, I believe the Archbishop has a deficient and simplistic understanding drenched in obvious bias when it comes to guns and the underlying real reasons for this epidemic in the United States. That will obviously not be debated fairly or reasonably in a brief email. Second, it is transparently obvious that the Archbishop of San Antonio is serving as a tool of the Democratic Party as we approach the 2022 off-year election and the presidential election of 2024. This is not only a perverted use of his ecclesiastical position, but an especially curious one given the cultural Marxism of the current quote-unquote, Catholic president of the United States and his party. The entire LGBTQIA agenda and the commitment to a wholesale slaughter of unborn children by Mr. Biden and his partisans is a matter of public record. Translation, Beto O'Rourke obviously fits into that as well. Thirdly, it may have escaped the Archbishop's attention, but the 46th president of the United States is moving this country closer to an unnecessary conflict with Russia that threatens to engulf the planet in a third world war, even as his direct involvement in an illegal coup d'etat in Ukraine in February of 2014 and his family's personal financial profits in that country via the Burisma scandal are also a matter of public record, a record the Archbishop's partisan friends at ABC News and KSAT 12 News continue to keep as hidden as possible from serious public purview. The suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop expose by the New York Post prior to the 2020 presidential election is a case in point. I would urge the Archbishop of San Antonio to read retired Archbishop Dagano's perspectives on this Russian-Ukrainian war very carefully while contemplating the implications of the direct criminal involvement of Mr. Biden and his Democratic Party in this still unfolding tragedy, which began in earnest with Bill Clinton's criminal bombing of Serbia in 1999, the illegitimate expansions of NATO under Mr. Clinton, and the attempted ignition by Barack Obama of a wider global conflict in the Georgia-South Ossetia War in 2008. I then provided a link to what Archbishop Bogano has had to say about this subject, where he says that globalists have fomented the war in Ukraine to establish the tyranny of the New World Order. He is exactly correct in that regard. I hope that the Archbishop of San Antonio will take a look at that piece by Archbishop Bogano. Finally, I said to the rector, as a part of my letter to the Archbishop, finally, may I suggest that the Archbishop and the Pope clean up their own house by ridding the Roman Catholic clergy roster of the homosexual and pedophiliac priests whose crimes have been revealed over decades before entering the 2022 Texas gubernatorial race on behalf of Beto O'Rourke and his militantly leftist supporters against Governor Greg Abbott, ironically a legitimate and practicing Roman Catholic. And I say to the Archbishop next, the recent revelation about the winner of the Vatican Logo of the Year 2022 by church militants hardly inspires confidence on this last issue. See the post beneath my signature. In reiteration, Rector, I apologize for directing my remarks to you, but if Archbishop Garcia Siller has a public email, I didn't find it in Christ Mark Dankoff of San Antonio. Now, I refer to this churchmilitant.com article. It's an incredible piece. It's on the V. Contacta post for the show description of this broadcast. And the very, very first paragraph tells you all that you need to know if you want to search this out further. Search out Church Militant and Rainbow Logo, Pope Francis, 2022. Vatican City, this is a Church Militant byline. Pope Francis' choice of a quote-unquote rainbow logo by an Italian massage therapist is sparking a firestorm with a phone number linking the designer to a gay porn website. With a phone number linking the designer to a gay porn website. Folks, take a look at that particular story from Church Militant. It is absolutely beyond belief what the implications of this are. You can see what this seal looks like, where a blind man or woman could see that this is the promotion of the LGBTQ movement. Julius Gomes wrote this piece for Church Militant, and it goes as follows. Pope Francis' choice of a rainbow logo by an Italian massage therapist is sparking a firestorm with a phone number linking the designer to a gay porn website. At a press conference in the Apostolic Palace on Tuesday, the Vatican declared Giacomo Travisani, a practitioner of New Age sensual and healing massage therapies, the winner of its contest for the logo of the Jubilee year. In this case, it's actually 2025. Travisani wiped his personal Facebook page clean on Friday morning as controversy over his sexuality and profession escalated after outspoken Catholic politician and writer Mario Adinolfi alleged that the logo's designer was a homosexual. A mobile phone number on the therapist's professional Facebook page has been identified as the same number as that used on a gay porn website. The number advertises in Italian a, quote, beautiful massager for single men, comma, couples, dot, 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 at home, unquote. In the description, the advertiser describes himself as a, quote, nice masseur, dark, cute, beef, male, performs only at home, anti-stress massage for him only or couples, unquote, offering, quote, 50 minutes of relaxation, well-being, and intense pleasure, unquote. Pope Francis personally picked Stravasani's logo as the winner out of the top three chosen submissions. Archbishop Reno Fisichella told reporters, insisting that entries were identified only by a number to ensure the anonymity of the designers. The contest received 294 entries from 213 cities, 48 different countries, with participants ranging from ages 6 to 3 submitting their artwork, added Fisichella, a former president of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization. Quote, in fact, many were handmade drawings by children from all over the world, and it was truly moving to review these drawings that were the fruit of imagination and simple faith, unquote, the prelate noted. Catholics on social media mocked the logo for its infantile artwork and its association with the colors of the homosexual rainbow flag, calling it, quote, an embarrassing clip art of, quote, juvenile graphics for middle midgets in the emotionally stunted, unquote. The ubiquity of rainbow designs, flags, and color means that the ordinary person is bound to associate the logo with the current fashion of gay pride, said eminent British art historian Carolyn Kay. Francis, Pope Francis, must know this and must further know that this design adds to that ubiquity. A Vatican statement described the four stylized figures in the logo as representative of all of humanity, unless you're a heterosexual male who belongs to the Republican Party, from the four corners of the earth, embracing one another in fraternity. While the first figure is clinging to the cross, the figures have waves beneath them, symbolizing the turbulent pilgrimage of life. Oh boy. Kay, a scholar in biblical and religious studies, responded, quote, one cannot help but be struck by the confident use of rainbow colors at the heart of the logo. The Vatican reveals much by what it does not show. The logo is a dishonest misappropriation of the biblical rainbow. The four figures in this logo are a rainbow of cloaked, mysterious, and anonymous figures. The logo's broken circle, cut into by the tail end of a thin blue wave and a bent cross, ought to suggest a holistic circle to represent the infinite, never-ending love of God. However, the bent cross might offer a clue to its unacknowledged yet blatant references. The art historian also lamented the poor quality of the design. Quote, the logo itself appears rather underworked, like a design in progress, rather than a fully resolved emblem. The typography is the most pedestrian aspect of the thing, and overall it lacks any of the weight or gravitas one might expect from the Vatican. Where is the beauty or ornate quality one expects in a design chosen to represent the love of God and the heart of Catholicism? One wonders further, given the riches of the Vatican's art collection, where did the winning designer derive his inspiration? Travassani, a 50-year-old single man who claims to have been a graphic designer before becoming a massage therapist, explained in an interview he conceived, quote, the first figure in his logo to be that of Pope Francis embracing the cross, followed by the rest of us, unquote. And as I read through the rest of this, it's absolutely sickening, folks. It goes on and on. But meanwhile, the LGBTQ plus Italian network Gayberg rushed to defend the logo's designer and attack Catholic politician and commentator Mario Adinolfi for making quote-unquote insinuations about Travassani's homosexuality, quote-unquote, comparing it to pedophilia. It seems unacceptable, Gayberg added, that an honest citizen can find himself associated with pedophilia only because Adinolfi argues that a masseur cannot know Genesis and cannot know biblical notions that even children know. And it goes on and on from there. And, of course, Church Militant has obtained screenshots of this masseuse's webpage on Facebook before it was sanitized, and it is absolutely quite something. So, folks, there you have it. We start to look at this whole whole issue of the Archbishop of San Antonio trying to attack Governor Greg Abbott, who is not a person that I always agree with by any means, especially when it comes to issues related to Israel and Zionism. Nonetheless, if the choice is between Greg Abbott on the one hand and Beto O'Rourke on the other, why is the San Antonio Archbishop, Gustavo Garcia Siller, trying to broadside a Roman Catholic governor of Texas on Uvalde, and clearly to provide as much assistance as he can to not only Beto O'Rourke, but I don't think it takes much imagination to know what this Archbishop of San Antonio would like all of his parishioners to do in these off-year elections. And by the way, when you look at these off-year elections, there is some voting power among Catholics within this particular gentleman's diocese, shall we say. Let's take a look at those stats. I had them up there a minute ago. I wanted to bring them up here now because it basically covers the statistics on this that are absolutely amazing. And that is that you're dealing with thousands of voters. You are dealing with a very significant block in a close election. And I'll read those numbers when we come back. You're listening to Mark Gantoff and the late John Stadtmiller, National Intel Report of the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm not going to take callers right now. I think I will maybe an hour or two after Eric Ajewski of Trad Cat Night and Patrick Slattery of the National Bugle Radio have an opportunity to weigh in.
Has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
We're back. This is Mark Gantoff on the Republic Broadcasting Network and the late John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report. We're almost through hour one. At some point in hour two, we will be bringing in Eric Gajewski of Trad Cat Night, hopefully, to talk about this whole bishop, this whole issue of this Archbishop of San Antonio and what Eric Gajewski thinks as a traditional Roman Catholic about some of these statements. And then, of course, Dr. Patrick Slattery, my occasional sidekick with National Bugle Radio on RBN, will hopefully also join that conversation in hour two. Hopefully it will work out once we get the two guests kind of into the mix in hour two for me to maybe take a few callers. RBN's call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. That is 1-800-313-9443. I was making reference, by the way, to this issue of numbers. Folks, when you're looking at this coming election in 2022 that involves this gubernatorial race between Republican Governor Greg Abbott, who is a Roman Catholic, and Beto O'Rourke, the Democrat, who is a cultural Marxist, we need to underscore that the San Antonio Archdiocese leads a Catholic population of 800,000. That includes 160 priests, 139 parishes, and 19 counties, including Uvalde, of course. But that's 800,000 voters. How is that going to play out in a general election in San Antonio and in Bexar County? That will be fascinating to watch because, of course, this issue of the Supreme Court reversing itself on Roe versus Wade is a campaign issue that pro-aborts in the Democratic Party, which is basically any Democrat walking, I guess, presently, they're making a big issue out of this in terms of voting for a pro-abortion political party and its pro-abortion candidates, including Beto O'Rourke running for a Texas governor. Same thing with LGBTQ, gay marriage, transgender surgeries for children, having drag queens, folks, drag queens with their story times, reading to elementary age children in public schools. What is going on with this kind of an ideological agenda, which seems to be, at least on a tacit basis, okay with the Archbishop of San Antonio, who clearly, in this appearance on ABC News with John Quinones, is tipped his hand that he favors Beto O'Rourke. He is obviously serving in a very less-than-veiled way as a partisan Democrat, in a way that, as far as I am concerned, and I will reiterate what I said in my formal letter to him via his rector, is a perverted use of his ecclesiastical office, quote-unquote. Now, in this whole business, then, of other issues, before we finally get on to the second hour with our guests, there are a number of things going on out there that are well worth your time, including some things that we could look at that involve foreign media. Let's take a look at RT.com for a minute. You know, I find it fascinating that RT.com and, of course, Sputnik are both news agencies that, much like Press Television of Iran, are constantly maligned by the American government, by the American mainstream media. Fascinatingly enough, when you look at this whole issue of these various sites, you will discover that there is more fair discussion and far more objective information for the average American reader or listener to go through than mainstream media in the United States has sniffed in the last half century. We will be back for hour two with the National Intel Report, Mark Gankoff from San Antonio, Texas, and RBN, and the late John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report. Hour two will have Eric Kajewski of TradCad Night, and also Patrick Slattery of National Bugle Radio on RBN. Stay tuned.
You. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.